Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is Linda Ballesteros. I appreciate you joining me today. I'm your host on Empower Radio Show. And as I always say, I appreciate anyone that spends time with me because that is that one commodity that you can't get back, folks. And speaking of commodities, that's kind of going to be our topic today because we're going to be talking about money. After the first of the year, money seems to be one of the main topics in the household. How can we save more money? How can we spend less money? So today that's going to be our topic. And as I'm doing my research, I found an article on Fortune, on the Fortune website. A little staggering because it says in the United States that nearly two-thirds of Americans cannot pass a basic test on financial literacy. So if you're sitting around a table, if there's three of you sitting around the table, you can look around and say at least two of you are not going to be able to pass a basic literacy test. So what I'm going to suggest right now is that you get a pen and paper because you're going to want to take notes. Today we have our guest is Trey Collins. Trey is president of True Vision Financial Services. He's also a financial educator at Money Management Educators. Money Management Educators actually provides seminars for corporations across the U.S. where they help employees implement real change in their lives through financial education. So help me in welcoming Trey Collins. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning. I am really excited that you're here today because financial literacy is really more serious, I think, than any of us know. And you probably see that when you go into companies and really find out the baseline of where they are. Before we get started on that, you shared with me one time about your personal story and why you actually got into the financial services industry because of a personal situation that happened with you when you were a very young child. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, sure, you bet. And we all have stories. And so mine is my own and unique, but it's certainly not going to differentiate me from everyone else in any real tangible way. When I was 2 years old, I had an infant younger sister at the time and then an older sister who was four, so there were three of us. And my mom stayed home with us, and my dad was a director kind of at a kids' camp, and so we weren't financially well off, but he was a real given person and doing this in a lot of ways sacrificially. Well, he was one day at my neighbor's house. She was an elderly woman, and up in her tree and helping her trim her tree branches back, and the branch he was standing on broke when he was on it, and he fell and landed on the sidewalk, kind of on the back of his neck and back area. And a couple of days later, he was in the hospital. A couple of days later, he passed away. I don't actually personally remember him. My older sister does. And I didn't really realize the impact it had on our family just because I was so young. But now that I'm older, looking back on it, we grew up very poor. And my mom's greatest desire was to stay home with the three kids, and she did that. And I do remember there were times and days when you know, if neighbors or family members don't bring us food and knock on the door and deliver that we weren't having food, we would wake up some days and there would be meals, like casseroles and things in our garage freezer that we don't know who dropped off and those sorts of things. So that was the environment that impacted me personally. And then if you fast forward, right out of college, I got into real estate, and I wasn't the guy that wanted, with all due respect to everyone that is, I didn't want to show housewives homes. That would not be up my alley. So I got into kind of a niche area where we were helping investors do some real estate deals and flips and on off-property, off-market, homes. And I knew a guy who I wasn't friends with, but I just knew him because he was an impressive person in that he was doing something similar, but he was on the investment side. I never actually did a deal with him. But in about a year's time, he did 48 different homes, which is an incredible number, and at least from my point of view. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the subprime crashed, when the subprime market crashed in 2009, this guy, who I didn't know a lot about, but he went from living in a $1 million home with an Escalade and his three young kids to homeless. And if not for his family, they had family take him in. And I heard his story through some colleagues. And so I was just sitting there, and my business was impacted as well by that subprime crash, and investors couldn't sell their homes anymore because the mortgage industry wasn't giving loans anymore. And I was looking at that and saying, you know what, my story is what it is, and I think all of us, whether experientially or observationally, have seen things happen to people that either for a period of time or for a long period of time or forever have impacted them negatively. And oftentimes these things happen because people failed to plan. And so I wanted to pivot and position my life where I was able, I don't want to say to provide value, but be valuable. And I think there's a difference there. But I wanted to be valuable for people. And there's different ways I've done that outside of work that I'm proud of. And there's lots of different ways you can do that in lots of different industries. I just thought if I got into the financial services industry, that was probably one of the most directly impactful ways to do that. So that's back in 2009. Really into 2010 is when I got into this industry kind of with that mission.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, Trey, that everyone may not have experienced a situation just like yourself, but we all do. We are all touched by the financial crisis. We've been through several of them, and you have to know people that have been impacted by that. Now, when we talk about financial literacy, when I'm looking at the data out there on the lack of financial education that's offered in the schools, which is where you would think it would begin, having it in the workplace is certainly the next best thing. So when you go into an organization, Trey, Where do you find that most of the employees really lack the strength in managing their paychecks every week?
Yeah, it's a pretty broad scope. And so on the going into the workplace side, that's through a not-for-profit that we're involved with, the Money Management Educators. And it's altruistic. It's not sales or brokerage or anything like that. It's completely, let's get into the business and help people learn how money works or how taxes works or how name their benefit works. And so it really depends on what the topics are, but what I find is overwhelmingly that there's a real lack of knowledge on how taxes works and on how investments works. Debt payoff strategies is pretty commonly misunderstood. So here's what I found in a nutshell. I found that almost everyone that we talk to has spent some time with their financial plan, whether that's how to pay off debt or how to budget or how to save for a new house or retirement or whatever it is. Almost everyone we talk to has put some time and thought into that their situation. But what surprised me at first, and it shouldn't have because it was definitely true of me, but what surprised me was there's not a lot of conviction on those strategies that they've implemented being ultimately most efficient for them in their situation. And it's not a criticism. It comes back to what you said, Linda, is just a complete lack of education on what the options or even how things works are. And so I'd say across the board, if we're talking, what I found interesting, if we're talking to a doctor's group, and they've all been in school for 25 years, the same questions exist as if we're talking to the manufacturing industry. and they oftentimes don't have degrees, but they still have the same level of financial understanding because no one's ever told them. And so it really, it's almost across the board, Linda, where we've had extremely successful, intelligent, smart people who are impressive in terms of what they've accomplished, but their financial literacy could be trained to someone else in about 15 minutes because that's all they know. And it seems to be a, as you mentioned earlier, an overwhelming opportunity in this country that the government's, I mean, you've heard of the FDIC Money Smart Week that's been going on. The government's tried to get involved. It hasn't been great. And so we actually have relationships with government officials at the FDIC, at the Federal Reserve Bank, and they said, what you're doing is great, and keep going. And so it's really a passion. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like when we leave a meeting or a seminar or a one-to-one with an employee that we're just able to feel good about things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Before we go any further, Trey, would you mind giving the website for Money Management Educators and so that if someone is listening and they want some more information about the work that you guys do out in the workplace, they can go out and find that?
Yeah, you bet. It's mmeducators.org. So it's like money management, mmeducators with an S. .org, and on that front page, if someone pulls it up, you'll see there's about a two-minute video that really kind of walks through in an entertaining way the situation, what we do, what the need is, and just some statistics and data behind that. And then there's a clients and comments tab where you can see a lot of the companies that we've been privileged to associate with and some of the reviews and feedback that we've received from them.
Great. And if they want to reach out to you specifically, how would they do that?
Yep. My email is my name, Trey, T-R-E-Y. So Trey Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S, at mmeducators.org. Trey Collins at mmeducators.org.
Great. And you mentioned earlier Money Smart Week, and that's been going on for quite some time. I participated in it many years ago. And if folks, if you're listening, you can go out to moneysmartweek.org, and you can find events that are coming up in your area. That usually takes place in April or so. So be sure to check that out. That would be a great way for an organization or for a group of folks. Sometimes we're a little uncomfortable going by ourselves. For a group of you, several of you, to show up at a library and listen to a presentation. A lot of them are held at libraries, at businesses. So check that out and see what the events are that are planned in your area. So Trey, when you go into a organization, what if an employer is listening right now, what would they expect of you when you come in and do a seminar for their employees?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing I would say is the first question we usually get is from either the owner or, if it's a larger company, the HR benefits director, and it's, how much more work is this going to cost me in order to run? And so the first thing that I would say is we have our staff and our team, and actually we're domiciled in Chicago, so our team is actually in Chicago, but we do all the work. So what that means practically is, our program looks like a seminar. Usually it's a lunch and learn. It doesn't have to be, but it's an hour long, and we send email invites to the employer, which they send to their listserv, and it's just an invitation. And the employee can click, yes, I'm coming, and it goes back to our system as well as the employer's if they want it. And we're able to send them reminders and things. So really all the employer ever has to do is reserve a room, number one, and forward an email to their employee database, number two, if they'd like to. And then we do a one-hour seminar, and I can tell you at that seminar, and if you go on the website, you can see the feedback. We've never had negative feedback from an employer, and we've done hundreds of employers. And from there, we will do a financial education piece where we have a base portfolio of about eight different seminars that cover a wide range of things. We also are able to integrate employer plans into those seminars. For example, Pandora Radio has a employee stock purchase plan, and there's different options with that. And so we're able to personalize their benefits and kind of walk through what those options are and how they work and what are the advantages or disadvantages or what are ways to think about this. So there's a lot of flexibility there, but we do have a base series, and some employers want us to come back every month, depending on the size of the group, others, you know, annually or quarterly, but we have material that varies. From there, what's really interesting is because this is a not-for-profit organization, it's completely altruistic. There's no cost to the employer, and there's no sales. We're not selling books or subscriptions or products or anything like that. It's purely educational. And what we do is we offer the employees the opportunity to meet with us one-on-one, usually a couple of days later at the workplace. And those are one-hour sessions. And the reason we do that is because lots of employees have questions and they just don't want to raise their hands in front of their colleagues and ask them a lot of times. So we remain the 100% educational, and we're clear with the employees, and they love it. And so we see a participation rate in that of about 70% want those one-on-one times. So if you think of that compared to really almost any other seminar response, it's on average, I think it's about more than double. I know it's about triple what you would get for, say, a 401k company coming in and presenting the information on your company's 401k or, you know, name your thing. And so the feedback in the response rate, compared to what I've observed, is over the top. And and so it's a successful program, and it doesn't cost the employer any money or really any time. They need to provide some latitude for their employees to come and talk with us if they'd like to, and that's really it.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, Trey, that I'm sure that the people in your audience are from all backgrounds, all walks of life. Can you, and you don't know what their story is. When we talk about our story, we don't know what their story is or why they're there or if it's even connecting. Can you tell me of a situation where you had someone in the audience and they came back to you and you were able to help them and impact their financial status in a positive way?
Yeah, I could tell you a bunch. there's several that stick out. One that was recently, there was a young woman, and she had been working at a previous job, and she had a bunch of student loans. And her previous job had been deducting her loan payment from her paycheck directly to the creditor. And so that was being automatically handled, and everything was fine. Well, when she left that employer and went to her new employer where we were doing the seminar, it had been a couple of years since she had left the other employer, and she hadn't been proactive to make a loan payment or to figure it out. And she had been receiving letters and basically been ignoring him and ignoring them, and just felt, as I started talking to her, just felt really overwhelmed and honestly scared. And so one of the things in any meeting that I'm ever in personally, I always begin a meeting is, what is it that we need to spend our time on today to make this a great use of your time? And her immediate response was this, you know, I need help. And she didn't even know where to start. So we spent, instead of our normally scheduled agenda, we spent an hour getting her student loans on the phone and trying to figure out a way to work through it. So when we called them, I'll never forget, they said, okay, well, we need a $4,000 payment today, and then you need to make payments of, I don't remember, like $250 a month going forward. And that just wasn't going to be feasible. And so her face gets real emotional, and she gets a little crushed, and she's talking to them because she's got to go through the verification and all that, and that's when I'm able to jump on the line and have a conversation, and we worked it out where she didn't have to do any monthly pay, like a lump sum, and I don't remember the numbers, but it was like $130 a month monthly payment or something. And I can tell you that when she walked out of that room, the relief and the change of attitude was striking. In fact, I was there the next day, and I wasn't scheduled to see her, but she came in, in between some of my meetings and just gave, like, I'm her best friend that she hasn't seen in a year hug and said thank you. And there's lots of stories like that, and it's one of the passions and reason why we do it. But that was just more recently.
Well, you know, Trey, you describing that, I felt like she was probably paralyzed. She was so afraid that she was paralyzed to even make that phone call because it had been so long. So for you to help her in just taking that big bear and carving it down to something so much more manageable for her, she can probably think a little bit clearer because stress is a huge, you know, it will definitely freeze someone, you know, when there's that much fear involved. I tell you what, we need to take a real quick commercial break. And when we come back, Trey, if you could maybe give us another example or other ways that you have helped past clients in the past, past employees, and to get over some of the obstacles that they were facing so that the audience, the listening audience, sure can kind of imagine themselves in that and see exactly how you've helped others in the past. So, folks, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more from Trey.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show, and today we're talking about money with Trey Collins. Trey is the president of True Vision Financial Services, but today he's talking about the work that he does with money management educators. If you didn't get that website earlier, be sure to go to mmeducators.org, and you'll find out more about the work that they do in the workplace. So, Trey, as we were talking earlier about how you can really help someone that comes to your workshops within the employee, within their business, and you have a little bit of information that might be able to really open the way for them, just as the story that you told earlier. Do you have another story where you might be able to share to our listeners?
Yes, we could talk for too long. But one that comes to mind, again, just because it was recently, it was actually at the same employer as the one we just shared, but a totally different situation. So this was a senior employee, and she was in a high-level management role and had a good income and good net worth and had come from another company and had a bunch of assets and Her husband had been a high-level executive at another company and was currently out of work and had been out of work for a little while. Well, to make a long story short, they lived in a very expensive home because when they were both working, it was tenable for them. But because the husband hadn't worked for quite some time, what had been happening and has happened for the last 3 or 4 years when I met them was they were paying the mortgage and mostly the taxes, which were fairly high, with distributions from their qualified retirement plans. And they're not 59 and a half, so most people know, but if you don't, you can't touch your 401k or your IRAs or other IRS qualified plans until you're 59 and a half in most cases, or else there's a 10% tax penalty as well as income taxes on that money. And they had been distributing large amounts and really paying extraordinary amounts of taxes and fees, so most people don't want to distribute from those assets until they don't have an income anymore, so that their tax brackets and their incomes aren't as high. And that is the kind of the plan if everything goes right. Well, when I meet them, long story short, they've probably burned through about $300,000not in taxes and fees, but liquidated out of the account, and probably about a third of that was taxes and fees. And their plan going forward was to continue to do the same. And so I didn't think that was a good plan. And a long story short, and really a process short, we did some financial planning where we're not going to take money out of those accounts anymore. We involved an attorney. I'm not an attorney, but we got an attorney involved to give them a little freedom from the mortgage company. And now they're going to sell their house, and it's actually on the market right now, and so bringing it full circle. But their plan when I met them, literally they were about to pull about another $150,000 out of their retirement plans to catch up on a list of things, and they were having to pull $150,000 to net $100,000. And
wow,
we saved them that money, basically. We said, let's not do that. That's not great. And they just hadn't – I don't want to say they had no idea, because some of the things were familiar to them that we were talking about. But they didn't – even at 50 years old and established, they weren't implementing changes. They were just letting things go and, I think, knocking on wood and hoping things got better. And so this isn't a limited to the millennials or limited to this mm-hmm. industry. It really is across mm-hmm. the board.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, again, Trey, I think what happens is that people get into the middle of it and they're just trying to make the next decision, trying to beat off the wolves, so to speak, and not looking long term, because there is so much going on that they it's hard for them to look beyond that. So what you're able to do is to look past where they are and removing the emotion out of it. It is very hard when you're in the middle of something that's very emotional, like your home. You know, the possibility of losing your home, that's a very emotional thing. So for you to come in and give them some options, that really does it saves people. It's like throwing them a life preserver of some sort, so that they know that there's help out there. We've talked about the fact that you're educating people in the workplace. How could someone that finds this information and goes to one of your workshops, how should they start educating their kids, if they've got teenagers in the house, if they have kids in the household? What should they start doing to help those kiddos so that they don't end in the same place?
Yeah, it's going to start with self-education for sure. And so that would be attend a workshop, bring us on to the company, or just go to Money Smart. Google it, Money Smart Week, and there's webinars even that you can watch there. And there's lots of resources out there. There's different churches will have different financial ministries. And so if we're someone who just hasn't spent any time with financial literacy, which statistically is almost all of us, then starting with self-education is the first step. And feel free to shoot me an email. I can send you resources. I can send you ways to get started. And that's easy enough to do. Where I would say that I find the most, let's say, opportunity for people, and I especially would think for the younger generation coming up, is a couple of areas. I have kids that are 3 and 5, so we're not quite there. But if they were, I would want to be telling them about budgeting first and foremost. And so there's lots of different options for budgeting. If you don't have a budget, I would challenge you to create one and track it for 3 months. And I bet you, and I've challenged a lot of my clients with this, and I've never been wrong. So I bet you you'll find things that you didn't realize that you were spending in certain areas, primarily around shopping or entertainment or eating out. And then I bet you can make some changes and be much more efficient with your dollars. The number one way to get out of debt that I've experienced is to budget correctly and apply those dollars diligently. Now, it does take discipline and self-control, but I think having a budget is probably where I would start with just about anyone. Don't have to be complicated, but they do have to be maintained. And so that does take some effort. Me and my wife every month sit down at the beginning of the month to look at last month, and we spend probably about an hour to an hour and a half going over everything, and that's just what it takes for us. But it's really for us, I mean, I can look at the impact it's had on our ability to save money, ability to give money, and those sorts of things, and it's substantial. The next place that I would go to is really an understanding of taxes, and I think this is not just for the younger generation. But I think this is, I don't want to call it an epidemic because that's such a negative term. And the reality is if we're saving money, that's better than not saving money. But we are ingrained in the United States to really put money in on the pre-tax side, which is primarily in the United States 401ks. And that's not a bad thing. And a lot of times you have a match. And I would encourage everyone to always capture that match because that's usually 100% guaranteed returns. But we do that because really it's what our parents did and it's what companies offer us, and that's, again, not a bad thing. But if we look at income taxes, and this is probably a longer conversation, but income tax-wise, we're really, especially with this new Trump tax plan, we are at all-time lows. And so the thought is if taxes go up, then having a diversification of assets where we have some tax-free assets that could come out of our portfolio down the road could be a smart thing. Let me simplify that. The goal is to defer paying taxes when they're higher and pull those assets out when the taxes are lower. That's what 401ks, that's how they work. That's how they're supposed to work. The risk is if we defer paying taxes when they're lower, we'll pull them out when they're higher. So you're asking specifically about younger generations, teenagers or maybe even millennials. Probably they're paying as little in taxes as they'll ever pay today because their income is probably lower than it will ever be. So a thought that could be of value, if I'm not really paying much in taxes today, it could make sense to save money that I've already paid taxes on so that when I get it out later, it's tax-free. And there are ways to do that and options to do that. But I'd say that the vast majority of people that we talk to have either are just starting out or have really established portfolios, and they're 75, 80, 95% on the pre-tax side, which means those assets will be taxed when they come out. Again, not a bad thing, but potentially a risk if taxes go up.
And more than likely, the taxes will go up. We had that discussion, and chances are that they will be going up, right?
Most people feel that way. Obviously, nobody knows for sure, but if you look at historical and if you're listening to this, Google income tax rate history, and you'll be shocked at what you find.
Trey, you have really given us some great information and a lot to think about, and I hope you folks were taking some notes out there. And as Trey suggested, go out there and do some Googling. Find out for yourself. And if they do find some information that they've got questions on, Trey, how would they get in touch with you?
So one of two ways. The best way is probably via email, which we've shared, which is Trey Collins, TreyCollins at mmeducators.org. And MM is money management, but mmeducators.org. Or my direct office number, and I may not answer, but I'm going to give you, I don't usually do this, I'm going to give you my direct number. If someone else answers, it's because I didn't answer quick enough. But it's 972-774-2304.
Very good. Very good. Well, Trey, we're down to those final three questions. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
Oh, at first it was desperation and no other alternative. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. When I got into the financial services business, I was 25 years old. I was just married. I was living in an apartment in Carrollton, which is here in Texas near Dallas, and my wife was in grad school and had no income. And so I had no choice unless I wanted to start over again, which I really wanted to. I had no choice but to make it work. And so I remember my days in my first year. I knew nothing about anything when I got into the business, and so I had a lot of learning to do, and I'm still learning a lot today, but it was a lot. My day started at about 4:30 a.m., and they ended at about 9 p.m., and about half the day was learning, educating, getting licensed, those sorts of things. The other half was actually working. And it was just, I had no other alternative. If I'll tell you this, 2 months in, or maybe it was about 3 months into the career, I talked to the guy who recruited me, and I told him I was going to quit because I just had no energy left. I was completely, after 3 months, I just had nothing left. And I was on track from a numbers perspective to be successful, but it just wasn't working. I had absolutely no capacity to keep going. And he fired me for 2 weeks. That was basically the agreement. He said, go away for 2 weeks and come back. And it was a good plan. I went away for a week. But that was really, for an entrepreneur, I think a lot of people can relate to that. When you're willing to take a risk on yourself, not that that's necessarily a good thing to do or a bad thing to do, but when you do that, it's on you. And that was really almost a desperation. The other thing I'd say for me that maybe is more relatable to some people is I latched on to people who were successful. And I said, you're doing something right. Can you help me? And they didn't know who I was, but they were kind and gracious enough to do that. And so for me, it was really reaching out to top advisors. And I went to Austin. I had a trip to see some family in Austin. And I just called, who's the top financial advisor in the city of Austin? Well, I found a guy who at least was one of them. And I just called him and asked if he'd go to breakfast with me. I pay for it. I just want to pick his brain. And he was kind enough to do that. And so things like that.
So you certainly cannot be shy when it comes to being successful and, you know, when you've got those obstacles, because it's only those that persevere that get over those obstacles. I appreciate you sharing that, Trey, because so many of us have had those moments where we wake up in the morning and say, especially as an entrepreneur, oh, my gosh, I don't think I can do this another day. Maybe I should just go get a job. Well, it's not going to be any different there. You know, it's all about self-determination. So the next question is, other than a coach, who's influenced you the most?
Probably a group of people, and that group of people would be the kind of the church group or what we call a community group that I've been connected with at my church. And so we're blessed enough to have some people who are successful professionals, not entrepreneurs, but successful in their industries as part of people I track with very consistently. And they're not in my industry. They're not in my field. They're actually all clients of mine, right? But they're real people of integrity and real people of character. And I can call them at 9 o'clock at night and say, look, this was a horrible day and this happened and that happened. And I really don't feel motivated to do this or that. And not that they're telling me you got to do it. They may say, go fishing. But having a sounding board and then having really just watching them develop professionally, learning how they're doing that and what their days are like and how they're able to become the really business leaders that they are is a real inspiration and real encouragement. We're not about being business people as inherently as part of our church group, but we're about being people that have a story that can get on radio shows and have the opportunity to make a difference and help people.
Mm, definitely. And, you know, we all need our cheerleaders and we all need to have people around us that believe in us. And we all need to have those people around us that not just believe in us, but that will be truthful with you. So it's great to find those people in your community, whether it's in your church, whether it's in some of the networking groups you have, whether it is in family or wherever you find those cheerleaders, hang on to them, folks, because they are very rare and they are very precious. The last question here is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that you'd like to share with the listeners?
There's probably a lot because I told you there wasn't anything. I knew nothing early mm-hmm. on. But the thing that I would say for me that is a entrepreneur who I don't consider myself in sales, but ultimately I think every entrepreneur, no matter what you're doing, is in sales, you could say. The one thing that I wish I had done early on was develop a work network of, and I mentioned it already a little bit, of people who were successful that fit the style that I was trying to work. And so there's lots of different ways in our business to be successful and do things. I had I want to do this educationally. I want to create programs that are educational to people to empower them to make decisions based on conviction. And so it took me a while to find that. It actually is. It was a guy from Chicago and a guy from California that is, I just met them on trips for different reasons that I was able to find. I wasn't even necessarily looking for them, but I can track substantial growth professionally from finding the right people in my field that were able to encourage, not just encourage, I mean, that's a simplicity to it, but I could take this situation and say, here's my thoughts, what do you think? And they were able to prepare me for conversations with that client or to be the most efficient in that scenario. And so that was really, for me as an entrepreneur, was probably the most positive thing, was just finding key successful people in my field that were kind enough and cared enough to help me out.
Trey, that is probably the biggest nugget that I've heard on this show in a long time, because it is important for us to find those people that have been through it, that can give you some advice, something that they have gone through and experienced as well. So, again, thanks for that. Trey, I want to thank you again for being on the show today. Folks, if you want to know more information about Trey, about money management educators, go to mmeeducators.org. And Trey, one more time, your email address?
It's Trey Collins, TreyCollins, at mmeducators.org. If you Google money management educators, you'll find that website quickly, and then there's an R team, and you can find me that way as well.
Wonderful. Again, Trey, thank you so much for the work that you do in getting out into the work, into businesses and educating us, because it's clear, folks, remember I said 2/3 of Americans could not pass a basic test in financial literacy. And this man, Trey Collins, is trying to change that number. Thanks again, Trey. I appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, folks, I hope that you were able to take some notes today. I hope you were able to find a nugget or two that you can take away from this. As always, I'm going to leave you with a quote. This quote is Robert Kiyosaki. People with low financial literacy standards are often unable to take their ideas and create assets out of them. If you're an entrepreneur, this applies directly to you. Let me repeat that quote for you. People with low financial literacy standards are often unable to take their ideas and create assets out of them. If you're struggling with how to monetize an idea, educate yourself, folks. Thanks again for being on the show with me today, Empower Radio Show, and I look forward to seeing you next time.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.